This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
So glad to be right here behind this mic tonight and getting ready to have a fantastic show. And beside me is my wonderful co-host, Dr. Angel Falzone, who is actually here on time tonight, Doctor.
Oh, you're going to give me a hard time, aren't you?
No, of all shows, Chris, for her to be late to, it was the anniversary show last week. And
It's not cool.
And you were out of town, and Angel was stuck in traffic for 30 minutes. That's how I felt in here, I tell you. And Nan happened to walk in and from our Sunday show, and I just pulled her in here, and we ended up punting until Dr. Angel got here.
Did you have cake? Pizza?
We did not.
Candles? Cupcakes?
We did not. So we're going
burgers,
to...
Burgers? Fries?
We're going to do that at another time. We just didn't get it done because of our schedules last week. And it's a good thing because she was stuck in traffic anyway.
And you because weren't I here. Wasn't here.
You yeah. weren't here. So we're just going to put off our anniversary. But
you
it is...
You lucked out on that one, Doc.
Yeah, she did. So it is 1 year anniversary, and this is the beginning of our second year of Go Yard. And Dr. Angel, we forgive you, and it was beyond anything you could do anyway, right?
Yes, things do happen sometimes.
Yes, and she was stuck in behind a big wreck and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, we did have a great show, and it was on the subject of kindness,
yes.
Sowing seeds of kindness. And I'll tell you, I've just, in conversation with other people this week, that whole concept has still resonated within me, how important that is.
Oh, it is so important, that kindness factor. It's important for us. It's important for the people that we're around.
Right.
And it's so contagious. So
it is.
Kindness breeds kindness.
It does. Sow seeds of kindness. And wasn't it last week that I mentioned Johnny Appleseed?
Yes.
Yes, and you and Bobby did not know who he was?
No, I did not.
Okay, so I was in Indiana over the weekend with my kids, and we went to the Notre Dame game, Go Irish, and we won. My son's a graduate of Notre Dame Law School, so we were there, and with my grandson also. And that day when I arrived, my daughter-in-law said, oh, we're going to do something special on Sunday. We're going to the Johnny Appleseed Festival.
Oh, how cool.
And I said, you got to be kidding. And Johnny Appleseed actually died in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he, planted all these apple trees all over Indiana, Ohio, and that area. So we went to the Johnny Appleseed Festival that you didn't know anything about. You did not know about Johnny. So what a great guy. Okay, so that brings us to tonight. And if you want to call in during the show, it's 727-441-3000. I'll give you that one more time, 727-441-3000. Or you can text directly to my phone, and that can be done 24/7, 365, because we have a lot of listeners, Doctor, from now on the Starcom Media Network, which is across the United States and different countries. And we are getting texts from people and emails, and you can use the text because it will work. It doesn't matter what time of day. It doesn't have to be while we're on the air. And that is 727-888-4171. It's our Google text number. One more time, 727-888-4171. If you want to get involved during the show or anytime, 24/7, 365. So we just love to hear from our listeners, don't we? And every once in a while, we have those special shows, those Q&A shows.
Q&A shows. They're really good shows.
They really are fun, aren't they?
Our audience is really given some tough questions.
So send them in, because Dr. Angel is accumulating questions now for our next Q&A, which will be in a few weeks. So that address is goyard2014@gmail.com. One more time, goyard2014@gmail.com. Send them in.
Woo, lots of business there.
All that stuff, including Johnny Appleseed. All right. What's tonight's topic, Dr. Angel?
We are talking about overcoming insecurity.
Insecurity.
Ooh, I know.
Ooh, you know, that is really an important topic, because I think a lot of people suffer from this.
I agree. And I think that everybody at some time and some point during their life will have some insecurities.
Sure. But the people that are bound by those insecurities, that these things are ruling their lives, really need to listen tonight. I think this is going to, as you and I have discussed this over the last couple of days, what we were going to do, it just resonated in me that this show, we try to keep it relevant. We try to keep it present. We try to keep it topics that people need to hear, all about life-changing things, hitting a home run instead of striking out, mental health, emotional health. And this topic really fits under the category of emotional health, doesn't it? And mental
health. Absolutely, because it's a driving force of how we see ourselves.
Right. And so many people don't see themselves very well, do they?
A lot of people don't see themselves very well.
Ever go into the circus with one of those crazy mirrors? I remember as a kid going into circus tents, you know, years and years ago.
The fun houses,
you know, and you stand in front of the mirror and you look totally different, you know.
I mean, short and pudgy, or really tall and thin.
Yeah, really crazy. And even though that's kind of a, you know, far out example, I think a lot of people see themselves quite differently than what other people see them.
Well, I really like that you brought that example up, because those mirrors give a distorted view.
They do.
Of what we really look like. And insecurity also gives a distorted view of who we really are.
Right.
And so it's kind of, we're using the funhouse mirrors to how we view ourselves.
Right.
Other people aren't using that mirror. And so it gives us a distorted view. But the problem is, when we have that distorted view,
right,
we're making decisions, we're making life choices, we're doing things or not doing things based on that distorted view.
And it's absolutely. And
crippling.
A lot of times people are, crippling is exactly right. A lot of times they're selling themselves short, because they feel they don't deserve more, or a better relationship with someone, or the finances to stay afloat, or whatever the case may be, and they feel like they are not worthy. I mean, unworthiness, inferiority, and insecurity, don't you think they all kind of, that triplet gang kind of hang out together?
They're very much all interconnected.
Yeah. So listen up, gang, and really get some wisdom here today from these things that we're going to talk about, because I think it's going to help a lot of people, because a lot of people feel very insecure. What does it mean to feel insecure, for those who don't even know what that means, doctor?
Well, we're taking the Webster's definition. It's not feeling confident, feeling sure, feeling uncertain, not adequately guarded or sustained, not firmly fastened or fixed.
Okay.
Not highly stable or well-adjusted, deficient in assurance.
Wow.
So those are not real positive words.
So basically a feeling less than.
Yes.
A feeling like you don't measure up.
Yes.
A feeling like everybody else is better at this or that or whatever, or prettier or smarter or whatever than you are. Just that less than thing, I think, is kind of a catch-all phrase that kind of a lot of people understand.
Yeah, it absolutely kind of encapsulates this insecurity. It's feeling in some area or some degree. And here's the thing is, some people can be highly confident in one area or two areas of their life and be very, very insecure when it comes to other areas of their life.
Right.
For an example, I, you know, have colleagues that when it comes to doing their job, they're highly confident. They know they are trained and they do their job well. When it comes to like personal relationships, that insecurity just rears its ugly head, and it really cripples their ability to do the relationships in a healthy way.
I think that's a common problem.
I agree.
I think a lot of times people have grown up with role models that weren't too great for them in whatever area, parents or teachers or whatever that caused, maybe they've been put down a lot. Don't you think that has caused a lot of insecurity with people?
It can be, that definitely can be a huge fuel, and that can be a difficult thing to overcome because it's messages that they've written in their heart over and over, and life kind of just has this way of, when we have a negative message, kind of reaffirming that negative message.
Yes.
And so it's kind of making it more difficult to overcome.
Right. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's been ingrained for a long period of time, right?
That's absolutely. And these huge messages can come, you know, from people actually using words or actions, or it can come from my thought of what you're thinking of me, and it still writes those same negative, insecure type of messages.
And, you know, back to our teenage days, Doctor, which for me has been a while, but for you it's just been a couple years. No. But, you know, during the teenage, a lot of kids are the peer groups of kids these days are cruel to a lot of kids if they don't measure up, if they have acne issues or wear glasses in fifth grade, or, you know what I'm saying?
Or if they don't hit puberty at the time where other kids are hitting puberty,
right,
or all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the most challenging time.
It is. And so a lot of these things, these insecurities, don't you think stem back to that age for a lot of people?
It absolutely can. In fact, in therapy, I hear a lot when people revisit some of the roots, because that's one of the ways we get through it. As we go back to grade school, middle school, and high school, and those messages are really where those are rooted, a lot of insecurity.
Whoa, roots. All right. So would you encourage our audience to revisit the roots?
Well, and we're going to get to that later in the show.
We're going to get to it? All right. Okay. Then let's talk about that in a little while.
You're very advanced for me tonight.
I know. I'm right on it here.
But here's the thing.
I like this topic. This is a good topic.
I love this topic. And here's the thing with insecurities is we kind of feel like we know what our insecurities are. Most of the time, we're pretty aware of what we feel insecure about.
Right.
We feel like we have like this invisible tattoo on our head that everybody can see what we think we feel insecure about.
Right.
So we think they're visible.
Right.
So we think the whole world knows this insecurity. And the deal is they're not. They are invisible.
Right.
And most of the time, people are so worried about their own insecurities that they're not looking out at other people's insecurities.
Right.
But when you're insecure, you just feel like it's a scarlet letter.
Right. Okay. So you feel like everybody notices it's about you, that you're feeling bad about yourself and you're feeling insecure and inferior, less than, and all that. But it may not be true at all. It may not even be being projected out there, right?
No, it may not be projected out there. And some very successful people, when you get down and have private conversations, are some very insecure people.
Yeah, it's true. You would know that as a therapist.
I do, and you see it. And it's surprising almost. But small insecurities are healthy for us.
Okay.
Because they keep us humble.
Okay.
If we had all this confidence that we can do everything and anything we want, we would become pretty narcissistic, I would believe.
Okay.
Because we think we have this and we can do it all by ourselves. So some insecurities can keep us humble, can keep us, you know, getting help when we need help, and
right,
it can be healthy for us to grow through.
Sure. Don't you think, Doctor, that a lot of people expect themselves to be at the top of their game in every area of their lives? Their looks, their weight, their profession, their money in the bank, etc. Don't you think a lot of people have those expectations for themselves?
They do. They have these unspoken expectations.
Right.
You know, I hear a lot. I work in an agency. We have a lot of upper 20s case managers that work in our agency, and you know, they're in their upper 20s, so if they're not married or if they don't have children, they start feeling those insecurities, like,
sure,
this time clock is going. And I'm like, there's no rules.
No, there's no rules. No,
there's no rules. You're okay. Look,
right,
at you. You have your career, you're moving forward,
right?
You know, but they just think of what they don't have compared to,
right,
you know, other people their age.
So it really boils down, one of the, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the ways to really work on this problem of insecurity is to start learning to accept yourself for where you are and who you are.
Absolutely. And you know, a great measure when we're looking at insecurity is the only person we're in competition with is ourselves.
Wow.
And so,
yeah, but don't a lot of people not, they don't think of that. They don't think that way, do they?
Not at all. So when I'm looking at myself, am I better today than I was a year ago or 6 months ago?
Oh, the measuring stick should be your own self.
My own
your
self.
Your own progress.
And my own life.
Right.
And if I'm making forward momentum, then I can only measure it for me.
Right.
Not where everybody my age or in my cohort group is.
But sadly, a lot of people measure it against everyone else and or perfection.
Yes, that is so true.
Don't you think?
Oh, insecurities really come from this false image of perfection. People just, they have this belief system that there's a such thing as like arriving. You're like, I've arrived. Like,
yeah.
If you have breath, there's no arrival. Like, life is a journey. It's not a destination.
Right.
You know, and we're always growing and emerging and becoming as humans. And
right.
So there's this false sense of perfection.
Yeah.
This is perfect. There is no perfect.
And if they arrive at what they consider perfection, then life happens, and it's short-lived sometimes, whatever that perfection, whatever area that is, the perfect marriage or the perfect job. Things happen. Life happens. And then what
they
happens
lose
to people?
Image of perfection.
Oh,
and then
wow.
They're very distraught. And so looking at life, there is no perfect.
Okay.
Everything's going to have problems, even the best situations and the best relationships and the best. There's something I can talk to a lot of women that most people would believe are beautiful women, and every one of them can tell me things they don't like about themselves.
I've noticed that through years of counseling too, Doctor, that it's amazing how people beat themselves up.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been one of the ladies I was talking to. I mean, she's model quality, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And she could give me a list a mile long of what she hates about herself. Wow.
Wow.
And I think a lot of people sit in that.
Yes. Oh, they do. So they're judging themselves, really.
Well, insecurity is really about judgment. Yeah,
it is,
self-judgment.
Isn't it? Self-judgment, self-condemnation, you know, beating yourself up. Are there some high-risk groups in our society that tend to have more problems with this insecurity than others?
Absolutely. Women.
Women?
Are the highest risk.
Okay.
Women are... We think too much sometimes.
Why would that be? Why would women be more of a high risk than men?
Well, I think it's because we're more internal. Women tend to internalize their feelings a lot more.
All right.
They're a lot more self-critical. And their identities are built on what they do, how they parent. So if a child misbehaves, that makes me a bad mother. Or if this happens. So a lot of things that are outside of their control is what they base their securities on. Looks. Women.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in a society that women are set up to look so beautiful.
And thin.
And thin. And this certain look. And here's the thing. Even the people who are models, they're airbrushed. These aren't realistic expectations.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't recognize half of these models if we saw them out in the real world.
Right.
Don't look like their pictures.
No, every once in a while you see pictures of real celebrities without their makeup, and it's like, wah!
Yeah.
You know,
who is
really,
that?
You know.
But isn't that the National Enquirer? I mean, a lot of those are airbrushed in the reverse direction. I mean, I don't really think that. I saw one the other day, and it was, I don't know who it was, somebody. And I was like, that's not her.
Yeah.
Somebody took
be.
A picture
you're
and
right.
It looks like them, but it's not.
You're very right. That
True.
Very well can be. But I think what we're trying to say is that as much as people want to be perfect, celebrities and other people that aren't celebrities, it's not possible.
No, there's no such thing as perfect. You know, a recent study found
except for Chris. He's the most perfect, handsome guy around, isn't he?
He's
I mean,
perfect.
Just look at him through the glass. I mean,
but
golly.
If that were the case.
Yeah.
Then.
You'd have a girlfriend?
Right. Never mind. You had to go there, huh?
No, I'm teasing.
You're burning on both of us today, huh?
I know. She's in raw form, huh?
Jeez. That's right. Just because the Rays are out of contention doesn't
That's
mean...
right. They are out of contention. And you two deserted me last week, so I'm still making you pay.
She's bitter.
All right. Okay. No. No, you're a sweetheart. And he does have a girlfriend. But anyway, oh, gosh. Okay, well, all right. I don't know about that. All right, back to this. Then women. Why women? Because people have all these expectations that they have to be the prettiest wife or the prettiest girlfriend. And a lot of them walk around very afraid of losing their guy.
Absolutely. You know, a recent study found that 60% of women admitted to experiencing hurtful, self-critical thoughts on a weekly basis.
Whoa.
That's a lot.
Whoa.
That's pretty frequent.
Yeah.
And so women are definitely a vulnerable group to feeling insecure.
Okay.
Partly culture, partly what we do to ourselves as women.
So there's that that those tapes that you and I have talked about now for a year, those tapes that go on in our head, those and that inner voice, that those comments, those "you stupid thing, you," you know, that come from the inside of us, or "boy, you sure look ugly today. You're having a really bad air today, girl. Air day today, girl." You know,
when you don't hear men talking to men like that
at all. No.
And so, yes, as women expect, and you know, and there are a lot of catch 22 situations for women. If a woman decides to have a career and a family, there's cultural judgment, her own judgment. She's trying to roll a lot. There's no win. If she stays home, then her family might be financially not able to do what they need to do. And if she goes to work or she chooses to have a career, oh, then, you know, are you really a good mom? And so a lot of women feel like they have to wear their capes and their big S's under their shirts and measure up to some false standard that doesn't exist.
Oh, this show is all about setting some people free from all that, isn't it, Doctor? I mean, really, we're exposing this as a very real problem in our society in this day and age. And also, we're saying you can come out of this and not be so bound up by all this insecurity.
Oh, absolutely. That's the hope.
That's the hope. Why not?
That's the hope. Another vulnerable population is those individuals who just have this critical inner voice.
Oh.
You know,
explain the critical inner voice. Is that the tapes I'm talking about?
Those are those tapes you're talking about. I always liken it to the little cartoons that have like the little devils on their shoulders.
Oh,
telling them all the negative stuff, you know. And this is kind of formed. Those critical inner voices can be formed by painful life experiences.
Yeah.
Things we've seen or things we were part of. Hurtful attitudes towards us. Even the perception of hurtful attitudes. And as we grow, we kind of integrate this pattern of destructive thoughts towards ourselves. So we just keep it going and keep it growing.
Well, if we're used to it, and it's been in our thought process since we were, say, 6 or 8 or whatever, and we don't know any different until it's pointed out, which is one reason we're doing this show today.
Absolutely.
We want to expose it.
We do want to expose it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that critical inner voice is full of condemnation, putting you down, you know, condemning, you know, you're just not looking good, or, you know, look out, so-and-so is staring at your husband at a party, or, you know, though that dynamic, I think a lot of women are constantly worried about losing their boyfriend, spouse, whatever, to the other woman because they don't feel that they measure up. Am I right about that?
They may. That's definitely a huge feeling. Another area that you will see this happen a lot, these negative voices, is when, like, negative life experiences happen. I deal a lot with foster kids. And so when kids' parents aren't able to care for them through whatever happened, it's me. I'm bad. I'm not lovable. I'm not wanted.
Oh,
and those become that insecurity. And it has nothing to do with that child. It has to do with a parent who wasn't able to care for a child the way that they needed to, but that child will take that identity into adulthood.
Yeah.
Of I'm not lovable or I'm not wanted, and that's that insecurity.
Oh, boy. We got to talk more about this right after the break. Don't go anywhere. Call a friend. Tell them to join us on Go Yard. And it's so sad to think that she don't see what I see. But every time she asks me, do I look okay? I say, when I see you.
Professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my Independent Ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Is it time to consider a new pool enclosure or a beautiful screen room for your family's enjoyment? Family-owned and operated, Boyle's Aluminum is the place to call for timely installation of all types of seamless guttering and screen enclosures. Boyle's Aluminum is A-rated on Angie's List and with the Better Business Bureau. Check out their website at boylesaluminum.com or call today for a free estimate at 727-504-9354. Mention this ad for a discount on your project. Boyle's Aluminum, treating you like family with honest and reliable service.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
That is a great song. And the other one is, too. Don't feel like you're less than perfect, huh? Wow. Good songs, Dr. Angel and Chris. You always come up with some great ones. And that just goes right along in what we're talking about tonight on the topic of overcoming insecurity. So welcome back to the second half of Go Yard. If you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. Comment. Maybe you can ask the doctor a question on what, you know, you have a question about this topic, 727-441-3000, or you can text even when we are not live. You can text anytime, 24-7, 365, and our text number is our Google number, and it's 727-888-4171. 727-888-4171. Feel free to engage here with us during this next few minutes. Dr. Angel, we're discussing overcoming insecurity. I guess the title of this makes you think you can overcome it.
Absolutely, you can.
You can. You're sure about that?
I know you can.
Okay. And you've dealt with this in therapy with people that you've treated, et cetera, for years.
Actually, this is usually a pretty core issue.
Core issue.
A lot of people struggle with this in some degree or another.
Okay. All right. And that song we just did, Don't Think You're Less Than, yeah, that was, what were the words of that? You remember?
Yeah, Less Than Perfect. Don't Less Think You're perfect. Less Than Perfect.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So we just talked about that critical inner voice, and that is such a problem with so many people, isn't it?
So much, yes. So a lot of people, when we have that critical inner voice, it definitely can make us more vulnerable to insecurities.
Yes.
You know, another group that would surprise a lot of people are creative people.
Creative people, by artists, musicians, things like that?
Yeah, people who tend to use their creative side or tend to be very creative. Writers, artists, musicians.
Really?
They are a vulnerable group to insecurity.
Okay, why would that be? You would think that they're so talented and they have more talent than the average bear out there.
Absolutely, and they are.
Okay.
But, you know, they have this introspective side, and it's strong. They're often more sensitive people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're more in touch with the feelings. So they're more prone to critique their work more closely.
Yes. Oh, yes.
they're harshest critics.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be a little more defensive.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody tries to give them feedback, they're not really receptive because that feeds into that insecurity, and they'll take it negative instead of as helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a difficult time separating their identity from their activity.
Oh,
like, so
okay.
Whatever they do to express their creativity, that becomes their identity.
Right. Okay.
And so they're more prone to feeling insecure.
I have a family member, and I won't say the relationship because some people might know who I'm talking about, but I have a family member who is such an artist. Oh, my heavens. And excellent artist, but he beats himself up terribly, and nothing is good enough. And I have one of his paintings in my home, and I'm going to get more. And wow. But not to talk to him, you would think that it's all crap, you know?
And that's very true of all.
So that goes along with that.
Individuals, they really do struggle.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, okay. So creative people tend to struggle more with insecurities and feeling inferior. And you said they're harshest critic, right?
They are their harshest critic, and they will find any flaw or a flaw that nobody else would see. They'll know that flaw or peel it out. And that when they look at whatever that creative expression is, if it's a note that they're playing with an instrument or something, they will pick out that flaw, and that's where the focus goes.
Wow. Okay.
Absolutely.
I 100% fall victim to that category.
Yeah?
Is that because you're so creative and talented and amazing?
It's every little thing. I'm my own worst critic. Anytime I do a show, after the show, if I'm editing it, if I'm putting it up, I'm always looking at every little thing, and I'm like, oh, I got to take this out. There was you, and 9 times out of 10, it could be something that you guys wouldn't even notice within your show,
right?
But I notice it.
Really?
Yeah, all the time.
Wow.
The time. So it's not just like you say artist, but people shouldn't get hung up on artists and painters. It's anything creative.
Absolutely.
Anything creative.
Anything where you are taking your mind and you are basically using the world as your own canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you do creatively, like me in here in the studio and audio stuff, editing, whatever it is. Absolutely.
Wow.
I am 100%. Nobody will critique me any worse than myself. But whenever somebody gives me constructive criticism, depending on the severity of it, I can get a little bit defensive.
Yeah.
But if you go about it the right way, I like constructive criticism because it's the only way that I'm going to get better. Because like your friend or family member, I constantly beat myself up.
Right.
So I need other people to give me ways to make myself better because it's hard for me to make myself better because I'm constantly beating myself up.
Wow. Thanks for sharing, Chris.
Thanks for sharing with that. Because you know what? That's real. What you're just talking about, that is real. And a lot of people go through that very thing that you're going through. How does our culture impact insecurity for all of us? I mean, you know, our culture's different than another country somewhat. But with global communications, you know, we're all pretty much alike, I'd say, in a lot of ways.
I think the culture has expanded this insecurity a lot.
You think it's expanded it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Part of it is our society, we are valuing bigger, better, faster. So this mentality of, you know, can't have enough, can't do enough, can't be enough. There's never enough. So it's just like this invisible line we're trying to meet that there isn't a meet, because as soon as you get to this line, society just raised the bar 10 steps. And
wow.
So
more accomplished, more this, more that.
Right. No matter what degree you have, there's someone who has more. So they come in our lives, and society, you know, definitely has this pressure on more, bigger, better, faster.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's very hard because it's a line that's always, always moving.
Well, and don't you think that the social media thing has a lot to do with this? Can you comment on that, Doctor?
Oh, social media can really feed insecurities in a lot of ways.
Okay.
Well, it gives us a way to measure ourselves against other people because we're seeing the lives that we think other people are living. Of course, it's usually some falsified vision of their life because most people aren't posting the bad stuff that's going on in their world, their bad hair days. I don't see too many people taking those selfies when their hair is looking holy wreck. You know, they're taking, you know, their best.
Right.
And they're trying to present the best they can. And so when we, you know, when our life is feeling less than perfect or we're feeling down on ourselves and we're looking through Facebook or Twitter or whatever, we're seeing these views of life that, oh my gosh, they can do this and they can have this and they can look this way and their kids are always so perfect. And no.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a real problem. And do you think that a lot of people are deeply affected by social media in this way? Or do you think it's.
In fact, I've had a lot of patients in therapy that we had to take them off social media for a while.
Really?
Because they weren't making progress in this dealing with their insecurities because they kept feeding it every time they would get on a social media application.
So you see this in real life in your practice.
You know, and some people even if they post something and they don't get 60 likes, well, then you know I must not be good enough, or people don't really like me, and that's another insecurity.
Wow.
I'll see people obsessing about how many people like something they've posted up on a social media.
Wow.
So yeah. It can definitely be. So if that's you, if you're getting on social media and you're feeling hurt, or you're feeling that you're less than, or if you're feeling like you're getting negative feelings, that's your barometer, then maybe I need to set it down. Let's take a fast from it for a week, a month, whatever.
Right.
Just kind of let's work on you.
It is addicting, isn't it? Facebook, et cetera, Twitter.
It can be very addicting.
It can be, right? And you're always checking, what did somebody say about my post or whatever? That's what you're saying.
A lot of people do that. And they have it in their phones, and you'll hear the little notifications going off all the time. And,
right.
You know, people want to know what's going on. And
right.
We need to just live life and be our best us.
I think this social media craze has really changed a lot of people's interactions with real people, don't you think?
Oh, yes.
I mean, their friends a lot of times are the friends right there in their phone, not necessarily somebody you go to the movie with or go out to dinner with or whatever.
Absolutely. And you'll see people, and we've talked about this on numerous shows, when they are engaged with human interaction, where they're still on social media.
Sitting there, oh my gosh.
With other people.
It cracks me up. Although it's really kind of sad, you go out to dinner and you look at the table across from you. And I saw this recently, people older than me, okay? Don't even say anything about how old I am.
I won't.
Okay, thank you.
You're youngin'.
Okay. But people that are older, you know, that are grandparents. I'm a grandparent. And they're sitting there not speaking to each other. They each have a cell phone there, and they're just interacting on the cell phones. And I was like, whoa. I expect that out of the younger generation. I expect that out of kids, my grandkids. But people, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It can be a big thing. You know, and people measure their value based on how many friends on social media they have.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all these arbitrary factors that... Just because someone is a friend on social media does not mean they're your friend.
Right.
And there's a big difference between live human friends and cyber friends, I guess. The friends that are out there that all like a picture are the friends that are going to be there when, you know, you need something.
Right.
Or you want to go have fun.
So would you say that one of the things we need to do to combat, I'm just asking you, insecurity, is to do better about making real relationships, not just cyber ones? Would be a step that would help people?
And even if we have one or two quality relationships in our lives.
Right. Yeah.
That'll absolutely help us to move ahead.
And when
that.
You have those kind of relationships, they generally care about you. Mm-hmm. And they don't want you putting yourself down. And they'll say, a lot of times they'll say, stop saying that. You know, I mean, be kind to yourself. The kindness thing from last week, you know.
Be kind to ourselves.
We need to be kind to ourselves and quit beating ourselves up so much.
We do. And other people can help catch that. Of that when we're doing that, when we're around people and that, you know, sometimes we'll do it and we don't realize it.
Okay. Here's a suggestion. Is it possible that maybe with some people that you trust, 2 or 3 people, whatever, 200, whatever, that you say, I give you permission to point out to me when I'm putting myself down or when I'm coming across as insecure and feeling less than, point it out to me. I mean, if you trust somebody to that extent.
Oh, that's a great barometer to kind of gauge even what we're projecting out.
Right.
Because sometimes we're not aware of how many times we will say something negative out loud or in our inner monologue about ourselves.
Right. And so we need to be very mindful of that and get some people to help if that will help you.
Oh, I love that. It's a little accountability, and it's a great way to help us grow. A big area in people's lives that they're insecure on is relationships.
Yeah.
Really. That's a huge. That could be a whole show
by
itself.
You want to define that? And then maybe we will do a show on that soon.
Really, it is a whole show. But it's, you know, when I feel like, you know, I'm less than in some way. So if I have a friend and they want to hang out with someone else, that's a rejection to me, and they must not like me, or with my significant other, you know, if they don't give me that time and attention right when I need it, I'm feeling like something's wrong with me, instead of maybe they're tired or maybe they have something else to do. And a lot of people are very insecure and to the point where they sabotage a lot of relationships.
Yep. Oh, gosh, yes, that's common, isn't it?
Very common.
Whoa, okay. So how do we overcome all this, Doctor? We're really presented the fact that it's a real problem. We know that social media has something to do with it. But how do we overcome this insecurity? Give us some ideas.
One really good thing is kind of look for that root.
Okay, we're back to the root.
We're back to the root.
All
now
right.
We got to the root.
Okay.
Where am I lacking confidence? Where am I feeling insecure? What am I feeling insecure about? And then kind of thinking about when where does this stem from? Where did this come from? When did I feel this for the first time? If we can really identify that, that'll help us learn to overcome that.
Is that going to be hard to identify?
For some people, it would be very hard. For some people, they're very monumentous events that, like, this happened when this kid at school in kindergarten told me I was fat and lazy. I just kept that my whole life. Some people know where
they
it came
know.
From. And if you don't know, it doesn't mean you can't work through it.
Right.
But, you know, it helps to have that, you know, so looking for that. But identifying, we can't change what we don't identify. So
right. We
need to identify, okay, these are the areas I'm feeling insecure with, or this is what I'm feeling insecure about.
Right.
And give it a voice. Give it some life.
Okay.
So you can have an accountability person.
Right.
You can journal it or write it down in some way.
Oh, journaling's like, great.
I love journaling. I do.
You do.
I love journaling. Seriously, honestly.
I think we've talked about journaling before, but you really do.
Hundreds of journals. Oh, yes.
Okay.
I'm an avid journaler.
All right.
But giving it some life. So, you know, I'm feeling insecure. You know, my hair makes me feel insecure. My weight makes me feel insecure. I don't feel like I'm smart enough to do my job. Whatever.
Write that stuff down.
Write it down.
And in other words, your, you know, personal little space, you know, your... Put
Absolutely.
It under lock and key or something.
You can
don't
do
want
that.
Somebody
let's
reading
give it.
It
a little bit of life to the point we can start dealing with it.
Right. Okay.
We don't want to sit and just fixate on that. We want to be able to move forward with it. Then we need to kind of invalidate
okay.
our insecurity.
Right.
A lot of times
invalidate your insecurity.
Well,
I like that.
We do, because a lot of times we're validating it. We're setting ourselves up to reinforce it.
Yeah,
to continue
we're making it worse.
It. So when we can identify the specific incident or time in our life where this started to our that deficit came, then we can consider why this doesn't prove anything about me.
Okay.
So we're kind of trying to prove it wrong.
Oh, okay.
By things in our lives that we've had positive experiences on. What are the things I'm good at? What are the things
okay.
I'm confident with? What are the things I like about myself? And start looking to
invalidate
that.
Become very insightful and spend some time inwardly mm-hmm. thinking about where did this start? That's the root. If you can't remember that, well, here's how I'm feeling. Write it down. I feel this. I feel that. Right?
Absolutely. And most times in our life, we have enough evidence to disprove our insecurities.
Okay.
I mean, I can tell you.
I like that. Evidence to disprove your insecurities.
And it's true.
I like that.
We're quick to
find evidence. Okay.
We're quick to forget those compliments that people give us or positive feedback that we get from people in our lives. And so we fixate on the negatives. We remember those very, very well.
Right.
And we kind of just dismiss the positives.
Right.
Oh, they're being nice or they have to say that. Or no, they don't.
Right.
Take it for what it is. Accept it.
Right.
You know, I hear a lot, and you know, when you tell somebody, oh, you look really nice today, and they'll say, oh, well, my hair didn't really work right, and my makeup is kind of bad.
Women do that a lot, don't they?
And I stop them. I'm a therapist, so I can do this. And I say, can you just say thank you?
Right.
That's all I need. Can you just say thank you?
Right. And what do they say?
They say thank you. But that's it. In learning when somebody gives us a compliment, say thank you.
Yeah.
And leave it at that.
Instead of making excuses for everything else.
And trying to disprove them.
Oh.
We need to disprove our insecurity.
All
and so
right.
we need to find that
disprove
evidence.
Disprove your insecurity by finding evidence.
I know I've shared on air that when it came to school, I was extremely insecure. I never thought I was smart enough to finish a class I finished. Now, mind to have you, I've always made straight A's my entire life since third grade.
I can't even imagine that. Doctor,
and
really?
And I
you
would
did?
Sit in classes and just did not think I was smart enough to finish that class. And it was until I disproved my report cards all disproved it. My grade point averages where I was in school disproved it. But it took me a while to look at that evidence before I'm like, you know what? I am confident I can do this.
And so you started telling yourself when those feelings would come, what would you say?
When I felt that way, here's how I looked at it. I said, well, I'd rather try something and fail than never have tried. So if I'm not smart enough, I'll fail and I won't be able to go, I'll know I hit my line in life. Here I am with a PhD.
Right. There you go.
I just kept moving forward.
Right.
So I had the feelings. I didn't let them dictate my life and control my choices. I still move forward, but I did feel insecure. And so that's where we want to find that evidence.
So every A began to mount up and you realized, wait a minute, this is evidence that disproves that I'm not smart enough to be a PhD.
Absolutely. And when I started having those feelings, I'm working on bachelor levels in my first master's. And
your first master's.
I was still feeling that way working on my first master's degree, believe it or not.
Wow. Okay. So you're qualified to discuss this. You're qualified to help people work through these insecurities. People, you can do this. Mm-hmm. It's not going to end up changing in one day.
No.
It's something that if you will write down these points we're talking about tonight and start putting them into practice, journaling those thoughts and looking at them, I think that's a great idea too, where you're looking at what it is that's going on in your head all the time that you're always thinking. Put it down on paper. And then would you suggest that they write a rebuttal to those thoughts?
Yeah, look for that evidence. Look for the positive things, the successes in your life. And even if they're not directly related to where you're feeling insecure, you still have these things to build on. These right. are the positives. We got to stop comparing ourselves to others. That's like top key. I know we hit it with social media, but I'm hitting it again. It is definitely reinforces insecurities when we're looking at other people. We can only compare ourselves to ourselves.
And boy, that's huge.
Our own strength.
That's just huge. That's a bell ringer.
That is a bell ringer. And if we can really learn to practice that,
right,
we will grow through our insecurities.
Stop comparing yourself to other people. Just compare yourself to yourself.
You know, I once heard, actually it came from a funny movie, but I heard the analogy of when, you know, they put blinders on horses when they're running the races.
Right.
And we kind of need to do that proverbially in our own life, put our own blinders on. We're not focusing on what everybody else is doing. I need to focus on where I'm going, what I'm doing, and how I'm doing it, and just keep
going
towards our goal.
You know, in running, a couple of my grandsons have run cross country and track. And they always, and my granddaughter, and they were always talking about their personal best.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Always. And they would say, well, I remember my son saying this quarterback years ago in cross country. Well, I didn't come in first or second, but I had my personal best. I'm happy with that, mm-hmm. you know? And he instilled that in the kids. You come in behind him, you know, the grandkids. And I like that concept. You know, it's about your personal best.
It's about doing, right, the best I can do with what I have in this moment.
Not necessarily being first place or second place in that race, that particular race that day. But if you've done the best you can and you did better than you've ever done, wow.
That's an accomplishment. Write it off as a positive instead of focusing on the negative.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, one big thing is we kind of want to make that plan to change and rewrite our negative belief tapes. And so this is how we're doing it. We're finding the positives. We're focusing on our positives.
Okay.
We're finding that evidence to dispute our insecurities. And then start taking action. Start putting yourself out there in the areas you feel insecure.
You know, this becomes an exercise in being mindful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Being aware.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of people feel the feeling of insecurity, but they don't take the next step to analyze it and see what they can do about it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It takes a lot of, you know, introspective review to
it
say,
does.
What am I insecure about?
Introspective review.
Ooh, big word. That's how you know I have a PhD.
Oh, yeah. Introspective. That's a two-bell ringer. Introspective review. You can tell you're a PhD. But you know what I'm saying, doctor? Because I think a lot of people feel the feeling. They don't like the feeling. It feels bad. They're uncomfortable. But because they're not self-aware enough to realize that they can change it, they just go through life feeling that feeling.
True.
Which can lead to other problems, which
problems.
We probably will start talking about next week. Some of the things that will go, maybe we will, maybe we won't, we don't know. But, you know, this is huge, this introspective review.
Mm-hmm.
We need to challenge our listeners to do this.
Absolutely. And take those steps. You know, if you're feeling insecure about a job, apply for a job. Or ask someone out on a date. Start taking steps in those areas that we're, you know, so we can start practicing.
Okay.
And it's okay to feel insecure. It's not okay to let it cripple you and hold you back.
I remember back many years ago when my husband was in medical school, okay, and it was they were all teasing about this because they had been in medical school for maybe 18 months, and they had them in clinicals, you know, starting in. Mm-hmm. Okay, get in there and examine, you know, do this. And they were going, nobody ever, we don't know how to do this. And so he would come home and say, you know, it's the whole thing of you see one, you do it, and then you teach somebody else, you know. And it became such a thing of realizing that if you actually put yourself in it, you can do it.
Absolutely.
But a lot of times we're so insecure, we think we can't do it.
We cripple ourselves before we
take
a step
forward. That's what I'm trying to say.
And so realize, here's the deal. Our task as humans is not to not feel insecure.
Okay.
A lot of knots. But it's to tolerate, understand them, and continue to move forward.
Right. Yeah. Tolerate the insecurities?
Know it's there. Tolerate it to the degree that, okay, I can recognize it. I understand it's there, but I'm still going to take that step forward.
So in tolerating it, you're not saying I'm just going to ignore it and live in it and put up with it the rest of my life.
And tolerating, I mean, we're going to recognize it, identify it, and we're going to move forward in it. It doesn't have to go away before I can go forward.
Okay, so that's mindfulness.
That's mindfulness.
Being aware of what's going on inside me, that when I get that weird, creepy feeling that I'm not measuring up or that I am not as pretty as everybody else in the room or whatever that creepy feeling is to identify it. That's what you're saying.
That's absolutely, you know.
Identification.
Surrounding ourselves with positive people will help us work through insecurities. And I always like, I like tangible things. So making a self-esteem box, making a box where we keep positive things. If we write, somebody said something positive to me, I might write it in a book. Or if I've been given like thank you notes for people, I keep those in a special place. And when I'm feeling down on myself or maybe that I'm not doing what I want to be doing, I pull that box out and it builds me back up.
That is a great idea. I believe we've mentioned that before and I like that. And you call it your self-esteem box?
You build a little self-esteem box, yeah.
Yeah.
My good, happy memory box.
Happy memories. But that's good because then that reminds yourself that, hey, other people think I'm okay.
I am making a difference, or I am doing
this.
And that's that evidence.
Right,
that
there's that evidence.
Those insecurities.
Woo! Find that evidence to disprove the insecurities. That's what we're talking about. So we're talking about being mindful, being aware when those feelings come, do something about it, change your mindset so you decide to do something about it, and instead of just living it for the rest of your life, because it only gets worse. It doesn't get better.
No, it doesn't get better. As we age, there's more things that we can feel insecure about.
Exactly.
So absolutely. You know, there's a cute comical little movie. I think it's called Hitch. And where it has this gentleman who is quite heavy and different looking, and he wants to date this actress, this beautiful actress. And it's very cute how he goes through, but he does date her in the movie. And, you know,
really?
He goes to this like dating coach to kind of build his confidence. And this guy's teaching him to dance and to have a, you know, how he's going to be suave to get her.
Yeah, right. There you go.
You've never seen the movie?
I have, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I just forgot the title, but now when you're describing it, I have seen it, yeah.
And it's cute. But you
it's
know
cute.
What? He was insecure, but he did something about it. And he moved forward, and he ended up getting the prize at the end.
So there is hope for all of the insecurities in this world.
Yes. There's hope.
You know, doctor, that's one thing I love about this show, because the goal is to help people improve their lives. The goal is to hit a home run instead of always striking out. So let's find evidence to disprove your insecurities. Let's work on that this week. And let's do what we can to not only recognize it, but to do something about it.
And let's always move forward.
Always move forward. Being very mindful. Mindfulness. There you go. Doctor, final suggestion or word?
Well, let's just keep moving forward. Don't get stuck. Don't stop.
Okay. Can always improve, right?
Absolutely.
Wow. This has been Go Yard with
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac. And we'll see you next week. And get a hold of us if you'd like to. 727-888-4171. Text us. All right. Have a great week, guys.
Good night.
See you next week.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR.